depending on non-career experts for their career advice.
You're listening to Buff Speak, the official podcast of the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. I am Dr. Nick Gerlich, your host, as we meet up with the thought leaders making an impact today.
While students wisely want to leave WT with a diploma in hand, not to mention a strong GPA, there's one other thing they need to have in their other hand, and that's a solid resume. Even if they are technically still rookies in their lines of work, you have to start somewhere with a well-crafted document that explains what you've done and what you want to do. Sounds pretty easy, right? Well, not so fast there. It turns out that in our high-tech era, employers are relying on more than just humans to scan and screen the myriad resumes they receive. And if you can't pass muster at this stage, you'll never get your foot in the door for so much as an interview, much less a job. Fortunately, there is a solution, a way to out-tech the tech, if you will. It's just that it can cost a lot of money for an individual to try to pay for this on their own. The College of Business, though, has inked a deal with Quincia, a third-party online tool that uses artificial intelligence, AI, of course, to help students and job seekers improve their resumes and prepare for interviews. My guest today is Kat Kane, Senior Director of the Office of Career and Professional Development here at WT and the administrator of Quincia for us. Kat, tell us what you know about Quincia.
Thank you so much for having me today. Quincia is an online tool that utilizes AI or artificial intelligence to assist students with their resume reviews, interviewing experience, and feedback, but can also help students with their LinkedIn profiles and make them more robust. We're currently in our pilot year of our exclusive partnership with the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business, and we are so excited to bring this to our students.
But why do we need this? I mean, what exactly are job candidates, not just ours, mind you, but job candidates everywhere, I suppose, doing wrong?
Absolutely. Applicant tracking systems have been around for quite some time. However, they're becoming more widely used by recruiters, even smaller companies. However, the templates that we see in Microsoft or Google Docs, Canva, or even through a simple Google search haven't kept up with the times of an applicant tracking system or ATS. While they might be very visually appealing, they're typically a surefire way to get us ousted from the candidate pool. ATS systems require a very clean template and grade our resumes based off of specific criteria. The part I like best is that they are not fooled by something that looks pretty but lacks depth and content. They're designed, rather, to not look at the pretty, only look for the content. Therefore, it requires a redesign for most of us, especially if we've relied on a template before.
So you're not slipping one by them, right?
Correct.
but why do companies rely on AI to do this initial screening when it's humans who have to do the hiring, right?
Absolutely. Large companies like Microsoft and Google report receiving between 50 and 70,000 applications every week. And so it's simply just not feasible for recruiters to look through that many resumes. When we think about return on investment for employers and recruiters, even at smaller companies, they might receive 200 applications for one position. Of those, they might interview maybe 4 to 6 people for that one position and ultimately only select one person. They can't afford to spend an inordinate amount of time looking through all of those resumes for 4 to 6 interviews and ultimately deciding on one person. Additionally, a well-designed ATS can take out a lot of the subjective nature and human bias of screening for interviews. That said, ATS systems are designed to decline about 70 to 80% of applicants and resumes and only show the recruiter the cream of the crop. It's incredibly important, then, that students utilize our services and ultimately Quinn to understand how to keep their names and their resumes at the top of the pool.
I realize this is still a fairly new offering for COB students, but have you seen any successes yet?
We have. It's been so exciting. We have just over 280 students have joined the platform already, and I'm currently working with over 30 courses to integrate Quinn into their coursework. It has been a powerful tool for our first-year students to see the direction that their resumes needed to be headed as they propel through their academic coursework here, especially since high school resumes are generally not robust at all. Further, it's been really helpful for our MBA students. Last week, I met with an MBA online student for an appointment, and the student shared with me that he has been at the same company his entire career, but his position was being shifted to a new office, and he doesn't wish to relocate. So he sees this as an opportunity to do a career shift. We were able to work together through a variety of online tools and resources to shore up his resume for the shift. But then he utilized Quincia over the weekend, and he was able to find skill gaps and utilize the taxonomy in Quinn to highlight what work he needed to do in his final months with the company. It has been incredibly awesome to see the wide variety of students utilizing Quinn and the success that they're having.
Well, and if he's been there 20 years, the odds are good he hasn't dusted off that resume in a while.
Correct. We spent lots of time on it, and it was super fun to watch him. The thing I love about Quinn is that you can tell it what skills you're looking for or what industry you're looking for, and it will pull the technical and essential skills just for that. So it's been really awesome.
Do job candidates have any idea at all that their resume might be screened by a machine, or is this just something we should assume is going to happen and therefore we should prepare for it?
Yeah, I always share with students that you should always err on the side of assuming that there is an ATS. So anytime that we're utilizing Monster or Indeed, even LinkedIn, you're going through an ATS. If an applicant sees an upload button, it could mean that they're interacting with an ATS. If it's a send button, it typically means that they are sending this to a hiring manager or a human. The job confirmation page is also a really good indicator that you're interacting with an ATS. If the fields populate at the end, after you've uploaded your resume, and the fields come back empty or incorrect, it means that there's probably a formatting issue on your resume, and you are likely interacting with an ATS. It means that the ATS couldn't read the contents correctly.
What specifically are these AI scanners looking for? Are there certain words and phrases that the AI scanners like?
Yeah, way back when ATS started, it was really searching for certain keywords. And so sometimes we would hear people say, just look at the job description and pull those keywords out and then use them. That's not exactly what they're doing anymore. They're using a whole theory of taxonomy on the backside of these parsing systems, and they're looking for essential and technical skills, as I mentioned earlier, that are directly aligned with the industry in which the student is looking to go into.
And are these like action words or... Tell me more.
Yeah. So let's just say that you're interested in a position in sales. The essential skills that you would need in sales is likely very different than a position in auditing on the backside of accounting. And so it's going to screen your resume for different things in those technical skills. Now, your essential skills in those two cases might be very, very similar, though, depending on the interaction that an auditor has at a company, their communication skills would likely be very different than a person who is in sales. So that would be an essential skill, would be that communication style, but the technical skills would definitely be different between those two roles.
Well, I can see that for sure, because one of those people can work in a closet and the other needs to be very extroverted.
Absolutely.
Is it possible, though, that these AI tools can make mistakes? And I hate to use the D word, but could they even discriminate? And I mean in a evil, bad kind of way, unintended maybe, but discrimination.
Sure. The blessing is that we are not the guinea pigs for this. ATS systems have been around for close to 20 years. Quincia has been around for 10 years. And so is it possible? Absolutely. Anything with technology is possible, right? But what I would also say is that humans are subjective, and we are full of implicit bias through the nature of just being a human in this world. And so it is possible, absolutely, but the technology has a way of really pinpointing and targeting that out of the system. And they're really moldable and adaptable to certain industries. And so the industry leader gets to, or the recruiter gets to identify what they're looking for in these systems.
I guess in an ideal world, this ATS would be colorblind, genderblind, ageblind, right? And not be able to know one thing about you demographically other than, you know, your skills, I guess, and things like that. And, you know, I'm thinking of my own LinkedIn profile. I'm not looking for a job, but if I were, I have something that would probably be a poison pill. I put how many years experience I've got at WT. And what does that automatically tell you?
Yeah.
I'm old. If I were looking for a job, I think I'd probably remove that, right?
Well, actually, we would want you to still keep your years of experience. The ATS system, for example, is looking for a start date and an end date on everything that you have an experience level with. But, you know, I think it's been around for, oh my gosh, decades, where they have blind screeners for resumes. And if you have a rather ethnic name, or, you know, there's certainly discrimination that happens between names and your experience. I mean, there's bias that happens in terms of assuming that the helping industry is all made of females and the business industry is all made of men. You and I both know that that's not true, but there's certainly implicit bias that happens.
How does Quincy's proprietary tool know what to look for? And does this change over time? I guess this is another way of saying, is this programmed by a human, or is this system so smart that it doesn't even need to be told what to do?
No, it absolutely needs help. It absolutely needs help. Quinn is plugged into the back end of two of the most commonly used parsing systems used in the United States. And as the parsing systems evolve, so does Quinn. So as the industry changes and terminology evolves, so does Quinn.
I remember when you spoke at our first CLB meeting, this would have been back in August, before school even started. And you kind of joke that if you hadn't updated your own resumes lately, then they're probably terribly dated. You know, I thought, oh my, you know, you said this is not your, you know, your mother's resume anymore or something like that. What specifically has changed in terms of resumes in recent years? And why wouldn't a person's skills and experiences alone not be enough to get the attention of a firm?
Sure. A person's skills and experience will get the attention. But again, we have to speak the new language of an ATS. So let me share with you two examples. Oftentimes on our headers, of course, we have our name, our first and last name, oftentimes a city and state, our phone number, email address. And if we have a LinkedIn profile, we might list a link there. And right underneath that, we usually put a line. If that line is made in Microsoft Word through the shapes section, it's going to be read as a graphic. If you put it as, for example, you can hit the equal sign three times and press enter, and it creates this beautiful two-line, or you can do three underscores and hit enter, and it does a darker line. If we utilize those things, it doesn't see it as a graphic. And so if we have graphics in our resume, and we upload it to Quinn or any other ATS, it's going to say, hey, wait a minute. You did not give me a resume. You didn't give me a document. You gave me an image. I can't read images. So thank you. Have a great day. And it moves on to the next applicant. The other thing that we often see is columns on a resume. And so probably one of the biggest templates that we see in Microsoft Word and Google Docs and even on Canva is what I call a one and a two-thirds column. And so typically on the left-hand side, one-third of the page is in a column, and then the other two-thirds of the page are in one column. ATS is designed to read left to right, and so it does not see those columns. And so the human eye would look at that and be able to discern, oh, this is all one section in one column. Let me move my eyes over to the other column and then read that. That is not how coding works. That's not how the ATS system reads it. And so then we're not sharing our best experience. We're not sharing the best version of ourselves because it's reading what we wrote incorrectly. So again, your skills and experience are absolutely still going to get you the position. But if you're not speaking the correct language and you don't know the language, that's where you need some assistance. And that's where Quinn and our office staff can be helpful.
So the visual aspect, this looks like a, you know, a nice creative, maybe a magazine page layout or something. You think it's going to be real easy to read, easy on the eyes, all that, but not so easy for the machine.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And how often should a person submit their resume to Quincia for analysis? Is this a, you know, is this something they should do because they're getting ready to graduate and they want to get a job, or is this an ongoing process?
it can be both. So for our first year students, and they know that they're getting a business degree, but they're not exactly sure what type of a business degree or what they want to specifically major in. This is an opportunity for them to think about how their skills line up with specific industries. So students that are in the College of Business will have access to Quincia for 4 years. Students who are not in the College of Business but are utilizing a course that's using Quincia will have access to it for 1 year. And they can do as many uploads of their resume, as many as they would like. They can practice their interviewing skills as often as they would like. And so particularly, for example, the MBA student I just talked about, he's considering a sales area, he's considering operations, and he's considering project management. And so he can write 3 different resumes and upload them and really see where his skills best align.
And what if a student wrote their resume, maybe they had 3 different ones for 3 different occupations? What if they ran it through another AI platform like Claude or ChatGPT? Would it give them similar good results or assistance?
Yeah, so it really depends. One of the things our office is really big on is the ethical use of AI. And so, for example, ChatGPT, you can pay for the version or you can use the free version. Well, remember that those systems are taking your information to then train themselves. Quincia is designed that she does not retain any of your personal identifying information, which is amazing. And we want to make sure that students know that. Now, there are certainly some things that ChatGPT could help you with, or Claude, or Gemini. You could put in a job description and ask, what are the key essential skills? It's not necessarily going to tell you in the same taxonomy that the parsing systems will, because these AI systems are not hooked in to the parsing systems that ATS are using. So it could be helpful, but it's not necessarily reliable.
How often does Quincia update its own platform? And is this something that is just happening on a daily or a weekly basis, or is it an annual thing? Basically, I'm asking, how does it keep up with all the changes with the employers out there?
Absolutely. So they happen every single day. So for example, let's just pretend that Microsoft sells off its version of Excel and it becomes Analysis 101, for example. The ATS system is going to have to update with terminology that systems would be utilizing. And so it would, for a long period of time, screen for both Microsoft Excel, but then also Analysis 101. And so we would want to make sure that as those industry terms are changing, as the lingo and the skills are changing, Quinn is updating every single day. And so that's coming from those 2 parsing systems, which are updating every single day. And then they notify Quinn, but also Quinn has student and user experience that they utilize to update every day.
When we come back, we'll take a look at the hottest jobs right now for business students, where the opportunities are, and most importantly, where the money is.
Life sometimes has a way of interfering with our university education. Marriage, family, work, any or all of these can cause us to hit the pause button on our degree, with hopes of one day finishing it. The only problem is that returning to campus can get a lot harder when you're no longer 20 years old. And that's precisely why we launched our online BBA, with majors in accounting, finance, general business, marketing, management, human resource management, and computer information systems. Available completely online. You can return to school without having to step foot on campus, or maybe you want to transfer in from a 2-year program elsewhere, but once again, are not able to attend face-to-face. Our online offerings are for you as well. We can help you finish your degree and climb higher on your career ladder, at your pace and in your time. We're AACSB accredited and among the most elite of business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WTBBA in hand. For more info, find us at wtnu.edu/COB or call 806-651-2525.
Kat, what are the hottest jobs in business these days, at least as far as campus recruiting goes?
Yeah, earlier this month, I was doing a presentation in Dr. Cantrell Robinson's class, and she hit it on the head. She said, regardless of the company or the industry that the company serves, they always need business majors. And she's 100% right. This is one of the most stable industries. And one thing that always appeals, especially to those first generation students, is that the wages for business and financial operations are traditionally higher than all other majors combined. So there's a lot of really great entry-level positions for a business major, whereas some of the other fields require students to have additional certifications or education well past their bachelor's degree. So according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the overall employment for business and finance is projected to grow faster than the average for any other occupation in a 10-year span between 2023 and 2033, with nearly a million openings projected each year. So there are top five areas to be projected in growth. So things like financial examiners, logistics, personal financial advisors, training and development specialists, and management are expected to see the highest growth in those next 10 years.
Is there some cyclicality to this? Is it a random process? Or is it simply a reflection of what's either going on in the industry or even the economy?
Mm-hmm. I think it's all of the above. Of course, students would want to see the difference in the growth of certain roles depending on where in the country they wanted to live. And so if they're open geographically, they will have all sorts of opportunities to them. However, if they are really specifically interested in growth in certain regions of the country, that growth is projected differently.
I've seen the ebb and flow of marketing jobs throughout my career. Sometimes marketing seems, you know, it's hot. There's tons of jobs, and then other times not so much. To me, it seems like it's hottest when the economy is booming. Everybody's into marketing and sales and advertising, but sadly, marketing kind of takes short shrift when things are going down. And actually, that's probably when they need to be doubling down on marketing to try to pull themselves out of a slump. But no, they cut back on marketing. Have you seen things like that?
Absolutely. It's one of those that sometimes we don't see the forest through the trees, right? And so to your point, exactly, when things slow down, we really need to be getting our product name right back out there.
And what about jobs that didn't exist 10, 15, 20 years ago? I heard a podcast recently that said that like 60% of the jobs in America right now didn't exist. I think it was 1940, long time ago. But basically, the nature of the work environment has changed considerably thanks to technology in large part, but also just the expansion of knowledge. You know, we've got endocrinologists who specialize in children or seniors or whatever, or one gender or another. Whereas in, you know, 80 years ago, it just would have been an endocrinologist, you know, one size fits all. I think of digital marketing, for example, something we have courses in now, but, well, 20 years ago, we didn't. We were just beginning to think about e-commerce, and we didn't even have Facebook yet. So this whole idea of digital marketing, something we take for granted now, didn't even exist. Have you got any other examples of that?
Absolutely. A couple of years ago, everybody wanted to be a game designer. A video games, you know, really, it was no longer our Mario and Sega Genesis, mm-hmm. right? And everybody wanted to be a game designer. Several years ago, you know, the phrase was, there's an app for that. Everybody wanted to be an app designer. And so that's fine. But there's only a certain number of those jobs available to folks. And so we need to pivot and figure out where that passion and that creativity is coming from.
Do students ever look to your office to see what are the hot jobs and then choose their major based on that?
We see that frequently. As I mentioned with the game designer, right? They'll come to us with an idea and then they say, what industry, what major is going to get me closest to that? And while that's great for some folks, there's, again, only a certain number of those jobs available. And so we want to make sure that we're very realistic with our students and that they have a return on investment with their degree. We encourage our students to use a platform called YouScience, as well as our career counseling services that are available in our office, particularly if they're unsure about a major. So YouScience is really special. It takes the students' natural gifts, natural talents, and then also combines it with their interest. And so you and I have been in the workforce long enough to know that that's really when we feel motivated, is when we can use how our brain naturally works with our interests and passion to every day come to work and make a difference and keep us motivated. So in the case of the app or the game designers, often these students have natural curiosity and creativity. And there's a lot of fields where those talents could be actively utilized. We also then would encourage our students to, after they take their U Science, to meet with our licensed professional career counselor in our office. And we can help them identify a career and a major path that will help them keep their buckets full.
And what should a student do who might find themselves in a major they love? I mean, assuming it's still offered, but the job prospects just aren't all that great. Like somebody who just wants to be a stenographer or something like that. What do you tell them?
Absolutely. We talk about the world is built on relevant experience and openness to opportunities. So do what you can while you're still in school to gain experience that will set you apart from your peers. If you're really dead set on something, you also might have to say yes to lots of opportunities that you might previously not have thought of. And so sometimes that means a relocation. Sometimes that means really thinking through how much money do I really need to live on? And is it important for me to follow my passion? Or is it important for me to make millions of dollars? And sometimes we can find the places where we can meet in the middle. One of my favorite things to remind students about is that our people skills, sometimes referred to as soft or marketable or transferable skills, lead to over 85% of our career success. Only technical skills contribute 15% to our overall success. Now please don't misunderstand. I am not suggesting that students take that 15% very lightly, but you should not forget the power that they have in their communication, critical thinking and problem solving, and their group dynamic skills either. If you can do the technical skills, that's what gets you in the door. But what keeps you in your long-term career success is those people and soft skills.
I agree with you 100%. I think those soft skills, well, just the very name makes it sound like we're just kind of putting them down. Not important, but no, they're extremely important. And I try to impress that upon my students too.
So, yes.
I also recall you saying at that August meeting that some major employers weren't coming to WT because they felt our students' resumes did not pass initial screening. Can you elaborate a little on this?
Sure. Historically, our office would recruit employers from across the region, even nationally, to attend our career fairs, but the employers weren't getting quality candidates at the fairs. So sadly, they stopped attending. This is for twofold, I think. Students didn't come to the fairs willing and interested in putting themselves out there. The other part is that the students that did come to the fair maybe didn't have the best resume. They weren't utilizing our services. We certainly didn't have Quinn back in the day, but they weren't utilizing our service so that they could showcase what made them the best possible candidate.
And how does Quincia fit into resolving all of this? Is it going to get those prospective employers back?
That is our hope. That is our hope. And so we kind of have a chicken and an egg problem. On average, it takes students 6 months to find a job. And so we want to make sure that students understand the idea of networking early and seeking internship opportunities to propel their timeline. But we want to make sure that we have the very best meeting with our recruiters so that the ultimate goal is that students have a job offer before they walk across the graduation stage. So while our office works really hard and diligently to provide the best expertise for our students online and in person, we also know that our students sometimes sleep at different times than we do. And Quincia is available 24/7, 365. It will give you a real life experience utilizing an ATS rather than just seeing how another human looks at your resume.
And so is this all a one and done solution for the College of Business, this 4-year program? Or is this something that needs to be revisited often? That's another way of saying, do we need to renew this?
Yeah. So we're in our first pilot semester. We're super excited about the growth that we've seen. We're excited about what we have coming in the next 4 years. We've been really pleased with Quinn. Our students, by and large, have really great feedback from it. And so as Quinn keeps updating and as ATS systems keep updating, we're excited for our students to be able to showcase a really comprehensive resume that elaborates on their skills and experience so that we can bring those big name recruiters back to campus and employ our students upon graduation.
After the break, we'll take a look at the future and where this is all going.
The MBA is the most popular graduate degree in the United States, and with good reason. It leads to better jobs, promotions, and salary increases. At the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, our MBA program is entirely online for when you're ready to make that move. With as few as 31 credit hours and specializations offered in 5 areas, you can fast-track your career in as little as 18 months. Whether you're looking for a promotion or initial job placement, you'll stand head and shoulders above the competition. And because we've been teaching online since 1997, we're not the new kids on the block. Trust your education and career to dedicated faculty who are not only experts in their fields, but also old pros in the online arena. Our consistently high rankings say it all. A GMAT waiver is available. We're AA CSB accredited and among the most elite of business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT MBA in hand. For more information, find us at wtamu.edu/COB or call 806-651-2500. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we're here to help you reach those stars.
I noticed that Quincia has been around for a decade. I hadn't heard of it until August of this year. I guess I've just had my head in my books a little too much. Do many of our A&M sister schools have it? And what about other Texas schools?
Yes. Don't worry about having your head in the books. That's exactly your role. And so that gets to my point of students should utilize the resources that they have in our career advice. And so other A&M system schools are using it, such as Corpus Christi, Kingsville, and Tarleton. But also big names like Texas Tech University and UT Dallas, and another regional school, Midwestern State, also has it.
Specifically, how is having access to Quincia going to help our students?
Yeah, I'm sure you don't have this experience in your classroom, but sometimes we have students that they just don't take the advice seriously. Right?
Oh, no, I never see that.
Yeah, that never happens, right? And I think that's just human nature, right? That's not our students. Humans are learners by doing. And so one of the things that we really hope Quincia will help with is students will be able to, in real time, see how their work on their resume looks to an employer. And that way, it's in a low-risk educational environment, but that way they're prepared to enter the workforce and ready to engage in ATS systems. Because they understand them and they're equipped to share a comprehensive resume that showcases their skills and expertise.
And do you think Quincia will have the added benefit, perhaps, of adding to our students' self-confidence?
Oh my gosh, yes, yes. So one of the tools that Quincia has, as I mentioned, it's not just about the resume. They also have an interviewing platform. And so students can interview as many times as they want, and it's fascinating. So I get to see the backside of the system, and we'll have students that'll do 10, 12 practice interviews, and you get to see the recording of that first question. So tell me about yourself and why you're interested in this position. And that's always my favorite question to gauge their confidence level, because it's the question that everybody loves to hate. They don't know exactly how to answer it. And so in Quinn, she will also... She's never mean, but she'll tell you when she's not necessarily impressed. And then she'll give you some pointers and some feedback of maybe you should consider approaching it this way. So when a student does that, and then over time, that next time, the third time, the fourth time, you can see them sharing their expertise, sharing their story with a big smile on their face, the tone in their inflection and their voice changes. Their confidence is definitely going up.
I think this is critically important. We all know that about 60% of our students here at WT are first-gen students, and I think that's fabulous. You got to start somewhere, and I love working with first-gen students. It's like I got this big lump of clay in front of me that no one has ever touched before. I can put my fingerprints all over it and help mold and shape them. But at the same time, if you're first-gen, you may not have a parent whom you can ask these questions like, hey, Dad or Mom, how should I prepare for this corporate interview? And, you know, how's this going to go down? And you can almost be at a disadvantage by not having that kind of access to information and advice. And hopefully Quincia will help them feel better about themselves and know that their resumes are now on par with a lot of the other students from around the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My experience, I was a first generation college student. My parents were great. My parents, for a really long time, I mean, we didn't have a choice but to go to a four-year institution. That was our ticket to success from their perspective. And they weren't wrong. But there were certainly questions that I couldn't ask them. And so you're 100% correct. I couldn't call my mom and say, hey, tell me about this corporate interview. What do you think I should talk about? Because that wasn't their experience. Their experience was in local mom and pop shops and regional companies. But I also see students every day who come in and they're say, hey, my mom wrote this resume for me when I was in high school. What do you think? And again, it's not your mama's resume anymore. And so oftentimes they're using templates off of Google and other sources. And that's not wrong. They're just trying to be helpful. However, the world is changing faster.
When should we be introducing our students to resume writing and Quincia? I mean, is this something for just the juniors and seniors who see the light at the end of the tunnel, or should we be starting earlier?
I am a huge proponent of starting earlier. No one knows how to get to a destination unless they know what their destination is. And so sometimes we can just feel like we're aimlessly walking around. Well, that's exactly where our office can come and help these students, is identifying a part of their career path and then utilize the time that they're in college, again, in that low-risk educational environment, to gain skills and experience applicable to that so that they can almost taste test it. So sometimes I talk to students about internships being a little bit like trying on shoes. You might try on the shoe in the store and you walk around and you're like, oh my gosh, these are going to be the best shoes ever. And then you buy the shoes and 6 months later, you're like, oh my gosh, these shoes still hurt my feet. This is exactly what an internship process does for us. We know exactly if these shoes are going to be our favorite or if these shoes are going to be a thanks. This was a really cool opportunity, but I think I need to go in a different direction. And so Quincia can be really helpful with that as well.
So is this a symbol of what's to come in the future? Will all of us need to utilize services like Quincia going forward throughout our careers?
Absolutely. Just in the short time that I've been with our team in career and professional development, we've seen it go from only Fortune 100 companies to now Fortune 500 companies to even smaller corporations. The ATS systems are becoming much more affordable for companies, and particularly if they are a part of a corporation that they have several branches across the country. These are companies that are going to be utilizing ATS.
I mean, I'm trying to think of how we could utilize something like this in academia. Not that I'm suggesting it or anything, but like to screen job applicants for a tenure track faculty position and looking for certain things. It's very different in academia than it is for like a sales job or something, but we're going to be looking for research potential and articles published and the quality of those journals that they've published in and things like that.
Absolutely.
Could that work in that environment too?
Yes, there are certainly some software systems. So for example, the Texas A&M University system utilizes Workday. Workday does have an applicant tracking system process on the backside of it. WT, for example, chooses not to do that. We still manually screen human resources as our recruiter screens them, and then it goes to the hiring committee. But absolutely, that's probably the biggest proponent of ATS, is that they are customizable to what the employer or the recruiter is looking for.
And how many licenses do we have here for our COB students?
Yeah, we have 2,000 licenses available. So the goal, Dr. Abdullah and I set, the goal was to make sure that every College of Business student who wanted access to Quinn had access to Quinn.
And so what happens if a student graduates, they've got the job, the resume worked, do they turn in their license, or do you take it back and recycle with someone else, or what?
No, the license is valid for 1 year from the time they activate it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And so we can have a total of 2,000 active licenses at any one given time.
Yep, all right. Every year. Yep.
So that allows for churn, I guess, as the student moves on and that license may expire, we can issue it to someone else.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I can see this being a huge benefit for everyone. But especially our online students who do not have the face-to-face access with your office, like our local students do. And you already mentioned an online MBA student already, mm-hmm. Kind of availing themselves of this. Do you have any other thoughts on that?
Just a shout out to our online students. All of our services are available 100% online. And so students can utilize our office. Thank you to COVID. It's been one of the secret blessings of COVID is it forced a lot of departments, ours included, to get more comfortable utilizing online services. And so we are happy to help you and happy to assist you any way that we can. We are excited. We're one of the very few offices on campus that will still see students after they're graduated. And so don't hesitate. That's what we're here for, is to keep up with industry trends. And so even if your license to Quinn expires, we'll still have the knowledge to help you out.
As I see this, we're now on par with some of the finest schools in the state when it comes to our students submitting their resumes. At least that diploma is one thing, but ultimately, the goal is to get a good job, and maybe we've helped level the playing surface here.
100%. We know, we're all a little bit biased because we love our work here at WT, but we know that our students are some of the best in the country. I always tell students, find me an employer that doesn't want persistence, doesn't want resilience, doesn't want the ability to communicate with their peers in a group setting. Doesn't want somebody who critically thinks through complex problems and breaks them down into bite-sized pieces that are easily obtainable to work through. That's what our students do every day here on the High Plains. This is just the very nature of who we are here. And so now this becomes an achievable option for students to showcase that skill and experience that's just so natural to them. Here on the High Plains, we're also really not very great at bragging about ourselves and telling our story. And so Quincia will help us pull that out of us to make sure that we are showcasing what adds value.
The letters A and I have taken a lot of criticism the last couple of years, probably mostly because people don't yet understand it. I like the words of a popular podcaster who said that AI is not going to take yours or anyone else's job away, but someone who understands AI will. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Whether we like it or not, AI is here to stay. So we must utilize it and therefore assist our students on how to utilize it in an ethical way. I share that with our students. AI was not designed to take the place of humans. Our society isn't designed for AI to take the place of humans. However, just like the internet, it forced humans to rethink how we utilize technology. Sadly, I'm a little bit old enough to remember when the internet made its way into our homes and school, and we were taught in school how to make good prompts on what was then called Ask Jeeves. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
That was long before Yahoo or Google searches. Jeez. But later on, Wikipedia came out, and I distinctly recall my professors in my history coursework noting how unreliable the source was and that this was not a source that you could utilize.
Well, as we know, Quincy is just one more application of AI, maybe not quite like the kind that is used to polish up term papers and essays. And notice I didn't say to actually write those papers and essays. I have this discussion with my students all the time. But it's an application nonetheless.
Absolutely. Our ability to think critically as complex creatures and not the technology will become increasingly paramount over the next decade as AI becomes more a part of our lives. But we need to think about AI as similar to spell check, right? Spell check doesn't write your essay for you, but it helps polish, as you said. And so we work with our students. If you can't beat them, join them. The students are already using AI. So now it's our job as educators to remind them that there is an ethical use. One of my favorite things is I showcase to our students, I asked AI to write an elevator pitch for a junior management student, and it does not even sound human. It's just not how we talk. It's full of buzzwords and language that just doesn't roll off the tongue, and it sounds really great, but it doesn't sound like us.
Yeah, I can tell when my students use ChatGPT mm-hmm. or one of the others to answer a discussion question or respond to my blog or something. It's There's a certain saccharine quality to it. You know, it's just artificially sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so that's not who we are as humans. So let's not let it do the work for us, but it can certainly polish things up for us.
My guest today has been Kat Kane, Senior Director of the Office of Career and Professional Development. Kat, walk us out the door. What are the best words of advice you can give our business students?
Use your resources. Your student fees are paying for lots of resources to be available on campus, and our office is available to assist you while you're in school, but also well after you graduate. Let us do the hard work of staying on top of the trends, and you simply utilize the resources available to you.
You've been listening to BuffSpeak from the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. Our executive producer is Justin Lovell, and Allison Hunter is our associate producer. Our co-editors are Maverick Evans and Paul Torres. Lindsay Bjork is our Director of Marketing and Outreach Initiatives, which includes overseeing BuffSpeak. Dr. Jeffrey Babb is Director of Accreditation and is our technical consultant. Finally, Dr. Amjad Abdulat is Dean of the College. You can find us online at wtamu.edu/COB for more information about our programs. Be sure to check out our many academic offerings. Come for the quality, stay for the small classes, affordable tuition, and friendly, approachable professors. And look online at our faculty blog, profspeak.com, for more insights. You can listen to BuffSpeak on your favorite podcast portal, as well as on our website, buffspeak.biz. And if you like what you've been hearing, don't be afraid to share us with your friends, colleagues, and family. Word of mouth has always been the best form of advertising. Until next time, love one another. For the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, I am Dr. Nick Gerlich. And as always, go Buffs!
BuffSpeak.